you're not revived and ready to do more in the Lord's kingdom after a song like that, I don't know what I could say tonight that would help. That was some of the finest singing. Can you just imagine when we get all the students back in the next few weeks and fill up this side what it's going to sound like? And then let's just go one step further. Can you imagine what it's going to sound like when all God's singers get home? All of us get to heaven. It would be better if I moved that down just a little bit. I'm louder than Gary is, bigger and louder. I appreciate the way Gary leads and the way that you sing. You remember this morning I said something about wanting the young people on the front? I didn't mean those seats up there. I look at them up here tonight. They're even on the front seat tonight, and I appreciate that. It's good to see Shane back with us tonight, even with his leg problem. And we're just so glad that each one of you came. Let me tell you about a couple things that I have in mind so you can be making plans and talking it up with others too. Beginning next Sunday, I want to start two series of lessons that I think will be very important. On Sunday mornings, we're going to be talking about the subject of God for several Sunday mornings. One of the lessons will be on the power of God. Brother Bullner, one of our elders, suggested to me a few weeks ago that he'd been reading through the Psalms and especially things that David had said, and suggested that I preach a lesson on the power of God. And I'm working on one. Working on another lesson that will either be the last Sunday of this month or the first Sunday of next month on the question, is God pro-choice? And then there are some other lessons that we're planning in connection with that. And beginning next Sunday night, probably, at least by the following Sunday night, one of the next two Sunday nights, I'm going to preach a lesson, a series of lessons, of nine out of 2 Peter 1. We normally talk about this section as the seven Christian graces. I want to preach a lesson on the subject besides all this, and then one on add to your faith, and then one on the seven subjects that are mentioned there that we're to add to our faith. I decided in looking at this that I don't know of anything that would be better to use as we get the school year off to a good start and get us all involved than to talk about Christian growth. And so we're going to be doing that on Sunday night. For the lesson tonight, we're talking about the subject, the mind of God and the mind of man. In Philippians, the second chapter in verse 5, there's a little simple statement. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, that's man, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now that passage goes ahead, as you're familiar, many of you are, in showing that Christ was with God in heaven. He was on the level with the Father. He was a part of the Godhead. And so in a sense, when we're talking about letting this mind be in us, we're talking about the mind of God. Now when I started trying to determine how to represent the mind of God, I had some problems. I don't know how to represent the mind of God, but I did it in a way that it will at least catch our attention tonight. I don't know whether that's supposed to be the sun or a ball of fire or what, but this is to represent the mind of God. What's in the mind of God? And then on the other side, I didn't have as much trouble representing the mind of man, because we know that man's mind is really referred to as man's heart and has to do with that that is centered in the spirit of man, in the mind of man, in the head of man, and is not talking about this blood pump that's down here in the body. Although the blood pump is important in keeping the human life going and helping us to think. Now tonight, what we're thinking about and talking about is, how can we let the mind of God, and maybe we should say, how can we get the mind of God into the mind of man? This is a very important subject. If you've been reading what's being written by even some of our brethren and in religion today, you're hearing a lot of new sounds. A lot of people are saying, oh, we need this and we need that, and this is what I want and this is what I like. And I'm afraid in many instances, we may be trying to get the mind of man into the mind of God and to try to interpret what God says and does in terms of what we want and what we like and what we think. Many of you in the congregation receive the Gospel Advocate magazine on a regular basis. There are some excellent articles in it this week. There's one that goes back and talks about the direct teaching of God and the examples and the necessary implication and inference, and points out that these things have been there from the very beginning, that this is God's will, and makes some points in that article that I think are excellent, in that what we need to be doing today is not so much thinking about interpreting what God said as determining what God said and understanding what is in the mind of God. Now, this lesson tonight will not mean anything to a person who does not respect God as the Creator and the Bible as the final authority. If you don't respect the Bible as the final authority, the lesson tonight will be meaningless, because it is built on the foundation that we are interested in knowing what God says about something and what's in the mind of God on that subject. And then how do we get that out of God's mind into our own minds? And then there's a step further that perhaps we need to talk about in another lesson, of getting it then out of our minds into our lives and into our words and into our actions. But tonight we're thinking about how do we get something from the mind of God into the mind of man. Well, we must first understand what the mind of God is. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter and verse 11, he points out that no one can really understand the mind of man or what's in the mind of man except the spirit of man himself. And nobody can understand what is in the mind of God except the Spirit of God. How are we going to determine what is in the mind of God? I believe the answer is given right here. He says the only way that we're going to know what is in the mind of God is because the Spirit of God knows what's in the mind of God. But you remember that the Spirit is the one who has revealed to us the Bible, that it is brought by the Spirit as he guided the men to write it. Jesus promised it, John 14, 26, 16, 13, the Holy Spirit would come and guide them into all truth. And the Bible is called the sword of the Spirit in Ephesians chapter 6, as the Christian armor is described and is given to us. And so if you'll notice that I have put the Bible between the mind of God and the mind of man, because that is involved in us getting what is in the mind of God into our minds, so that we can truly let the mind of Christ dwell in us. That is done, of course, through the system of revelation. In Ephesians, the third chapter, verses 1 through 11, a great deal is said about this. First, in the first several verses, he says that there was a time in other ages when men did not know the complete will of God. In fact, Peter says in 1 Peter 1:10 that even some of the prophets did not understand everything that was in their message. You see, they were being guided by the Spirit of God. And they would have been glad to see what was going to take place. They never lived long enough to see the completeness of the message of God. There was a time that it was a mystery. But verse 9 says, to make all men see what is the fellowship of this mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. And he goes ahead in verse 10 and says that what this is that we're to make known is the manifold wisdom of God. Our work in the preaching and teaching of God's word is to make known the manifold wisdom of God. Now that's just another way of saying that we are interested in getting what is in the mind of God up here, his manifold wisdom, into our mind. Now granted, Isaiah says his thoughts are higher than our thoughts and his ways higher than our ways. And we may not be able to understand something in the way that God understands it. In fact, we can remove the word may from that sentence. We will not understand it on the level with God, because our minds are not capable of functioning on the level with God. His ways are higher than our ways. But we will not perish unless it's because of lack of knowledge, Hosea 4, verse 6. Therefore, if we, through the process of revelation, where God's knowledge has been made known to man, can open up this revelation of his word and look upon the pages of it, and from that get into our minds what God has revealed, then we can, at least in our understanding of what we as humans are capable of doing, get what is in the mind of God down here in our minds. And that's what's being said in Ephesians 1, 17 and 18, where he says, the eyes of your understanding being opened. He goes ahead in the latter part of that verse and the next verse and talks about the knowledge that we can have about Christ and what God has revealed. And then there is that verse that most of us could quote, Romans 10, 17, that says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And there is a very simple conclusion, that the only way that we're going to get the mind of God into our minds is through this open book where he has revealed that which was shut up as a mystery at one time, but is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, verse 5 of Ephesians 3, and into our minds as they are open, and as we go to the Word of God and listen to it, we can gain that which will develop our faith. And that faith that you and I develop in our minds, which is a belief that God is, but more than that, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, Hebrews 11, verse 6, that's the process of getting what is in the mind of God into our minds. Now let's apply that in some areas as we think for a few minutes about what can happen and what does happen. Let's let what God believes about any subject be represented by ABC. This may be an algebra lesson tonight. A little bit of a lesson in the area of logic. But let's just let ABC represent what God thinks about any subject. Whatever subject it is that you're going to be studying, you ask the question, what is it that's in the mind of God on this subject? We're going to go to God's Word and find out. Let's let ABC represent what's in the mind of God on any subject. Now, it is possible that the mind of man can be represented by a question mark. That's ignorance. In other words, man doesn't know anything about what's in the mind of God on this subject. He's had the Bible closed. He has not had anything revealed to him. And so he is ignorant of what God says on the subject. An example of this would be over there in Athens in Acts 17. You remember when Paul went in there and saw all these gods that they were worshiping, he saw another statue that had been built to an unknown god. And he said, "This one whom ye ignorantly worship, I'm going to declare unto you." Now at that point, the mind of those people, as far as what God taught on these different subjects, would be represented by a question mark. They didn't know. They were ignorant of it. So you see, they did not have what was in the mind of God, whatever the subject was that was going to be discussed. In this particular case, it was the subject of the resurrection, in general at least, that Paul preached to them in the latter part of that chapter. And he took what was in the mind of God on the subject of the resurrection, and by opening up the message, he brought it down and put it in their minds so they could understand. But we, like them, can be ignorant on any subject. And let me continue to remind you, as I always do when I'm talking about this subject, that ignorance is not stupidity. Although sometimes we all have problems with that. Ignorance is simply a lack of knowledge, not knowing what God says about it and what's in the mind of God on that. All right, if we're going to remove this ignorance, then we've got to do something about the process of teaching. And we come down here and we teach all that's in the Word of God on this certain subject. And we conclude that this is what God teaches, and we have that in our mind. Granted, again, it's on human level. Our understanding may be somewhat incomplete sometimes. But at least we've got the facts on this subject, whatever it is. And we brought those same facts by studying the Word of God into our minds. And we have concluded and based our faith on what God says about this particular subject. And when we've done that, we have the mind of God in our mind. We have the facts and how God looks at that. Now remember, we're not talking about how we interpret it. And we're not talking about what do I think God said or what do I want God to say. We're approaching this from the standpoint that we really are going to His Word, which is the only system of revelation that we have. There's no new doctrine coming, Galatians 1, 8 through 9. Even if you walk outside this building tonight and you meet somebody and you determine that that is an angel from heaven, there's no doubt in your mind it's an angel from heaven, and I don't think you're going to do that. But if you did, and that angel from heaven tells you something other than what's in the Bible, you're not to believe him. Galatians 1, 8 and 9. That means the revelation is final. And so when we go to the Bible and we determine, here's what God has said, the totality of His Word, Psalms 119, verse 160 in the American Standard Version, I believe it is, says that the sum of His Word is truth. The sum of His Word is truth. When we go to God's book and we determine this is what God has said about it, and we put that in our minds, then we have the mind of God in our minds. Whether that's dealing with a fact, whether it's dealing with an attitude that God has told us to have, like love or trust or whatever it is, we put God's mind in ours by going to His Word. But here's what happens sometimes. Some people might be represented by just AB on whatever subject it is that we're discussing. Now look at that for a moment and you see a difference. God's mind has ABC in it on whatever subject it is we're discussing. And we look at our own minds and we see that we have AB. Well, that's two-thirds of what's up here perhaps as far as the letters are concerned, at least a portion. But it's not enough. It falls short. We've got a problem. That means that we still have not come to understand all that God has said on that subject. We understand something about it, but we still do not understand to where we really know what's in the mind of God on that subject. And we fall short. Ethiopian eunuch was somewhat like that in Acts 8. He realized that he needed to worship God. He realized some things about God, but he said to Philip when he came to the chariot, "What about this scripture here that I'm reading?" And Philip began and preached to him Jesus and taught him some additional material about it to where he understood that he needed to become a Christian. We have this same situation with Cornelius in Acts 10. He sent for Peter, and Cornelius was a good man. He understood a lot about what was in the mind of God, but he did not understand the plan of salvation. Peter had to teach him. You see, he was lacking something. Same thing is true with the Philippian jailer, for example, in Acts 16. All these cases, they knew something. The Philippian jailer probably would have been represented by the question mark as they began, because he was a heathen. But as they taught him, you see, he began to develop, but it was only when they finished the teaching of the subject and he understood the complete plan of God that his mind would have been like the ABC, and he understood what to do and carried out his obedience on that. Then there's another problem that exists. Sometimes we try to get more in the mind of man on a subject than is in the mind of God, and we add to what God has said on that subject. You're aware of Deuteronomy chapter 4 that talks about this, verse 2, Proverbs 30, verse 6 that talks about it, Revelation 22, 18 and 19 that talks about it. You know sometimes those that bind where God has not bound is condemned in Matthew 16, 19. I suppose the Pharisees were guilty of this in many instances, where they would say, yes, let's do this, and God has said this, but this is also demanded, and this is required. A moment ago when we were talking about just the AB, we were really talking about loosing where God has not loosed. And now when we put the ABCD, we're talking about binding where God has not bound, requiring what God teaches and then adding to it, adding our own opinions and our own demands. And when we do that, you see, we have more in the mind of man than is in the mind of God. And then there is another development that takes place. Instead of the ABC in the mind of man, sometimes we see what we might represent as XYZ. And that simply means something entirely different. Something entirely different. And here again, there were many times when the Pharisees were like this. You remember in chapters like Mark 7 and Matthew 15, particularly Mark 7, Jesus accused the Pharisees of worshiping him in vain. And here's what he said. He said, "You reject the commandments of God, and you hold to your traditions." You see, they were rejecting what is in the mind of God, and then they were substituting their own plan instead of that. And so instead of learning what God said on some subject, they simply rejected that, and they set up their own traditions, and many times demanded them in a stronger way than we might even demand God's word be used today as a guide, and set up their traditions and held to them. And that can happen to us. It can happen to anybody today. If we close the word of God and we do not learn what God has said, or even after reading it, we decide to reject it, and we set up our own plan, and we say, this is how I want it, and this is the way I want it done, and we change God's word completely, then the mind of man is not like the mind of God. So you see, there are four ways that we've talked about how man may try to get his mind settled on any given subject. One is if he is ignorant of God's word, it's certainly not the mind of God. If it is less than what God teaches, it's not the mind of God and the mind of man. If it is more than what God teaches and adding to it, there is a problem. And if it is a change or an alteration, there is a problem. What we need to try to do on any subject that we discuss and study and try to conclude what the truth is to determine exactly what is it that's in the mind of God. Because you see, John 17, 17 says, his word is truth. Whatever God says about it, that's the truth. And now here's what we're trying to do on a regular basis in our teaching, in our private studies, and everything that we do relative to the Bible. We're trying to go back through the Bible with our faith in it and listening to it, believing that it is the revelation from God, and that the Spirit of God can reveal to us what is in God's mind, with the idea that we want the mind of Christ or God to dwell in us. We go back and we try to determine, what is it that God said? What is it that God meant? How is it that God looks at this subject? Not what does man say about it, but what is it that God says about this subject? And then when we bring that, that's represented by the ABC on any subject we're talking about, through God's word, and we get it into our minds, and the conclusions we draw are based upon that pattern, to where we have in our minds what's in the Word of God and revealed by His Spirit that's in the mind of God, then I believe we can say we have the mind of God in our minds. Incomplete in the sense that we are human, certainly not understanding anything to the level that God does in His perfection, but understanding exactly the same thing to the extent that in our human minds we can develop faith, and out of that faith in obedience, we can reach to that which is offered by the grace of God and take advantage of it and be Christians, live an enjoyable life here, and be ready to live in that everlasting life that is to come. The mind of God and the mind of man. It's just this simple. What we must do on any subject we are considering is determine what is it that's in the mind of God and then get our mind set just exactly like that in as much as it is possible for us to do. What is in the mind of God about eternal salvation? He wants us to be saved. 2 Peter 3:9. He gave His Son to die on the cross for us. John 3:16. Romans 5:8. What is in the mind of God of what He expects us to do? You take the Bible and look at the mind of God, and He today is still saying we must believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of sins. And if we come up with anything less than that, or we add something to that, we're trying to alter the mind of God. And if you go to His Word, you're still going to find that when we make mistakes as Christians, we can come back and receive forgiveness through the power that's in the blood of Christ, through penitence, confession, and prayer to God. That is what's said in the mind of God. That is the set pattern that is there. When you and I understand that, we'll understand it that way, because that's what's in the mind of God. How do we get the mind of God into our minds? Through going to His Word and determining what does God believe and say about this matter. And without reservation, I can say to you tonight that I know that in His mind, He wants every one of us to be Christians and to live for Him. And that if you're not, He wants you to come to Him as together we stand and sing.
Almost persuaded now to